listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Disclaimer. This show is a WHFR talk show presentation. The opinions expressed by WHFR staff and our guests are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College, not faculty, staff, administrators, anyone on our Board of Trustees, or students.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Impact. Thank you for tuning in today. I am Missy J. On Impact, we feature extraordinary people who are in our community, who have a story to tell, making a difference, and who are making an impact on other lives as well. Once again, thank you for listening to WHFR Dearborn 89.3.fm on your dial. Today's guest is Miss Massey, a.k.a. Nikki Nicole. I love short hair. She's back to discuss more about children and mothers in the judicial system. Also, we're going to talk about the impact and legacy of activist, entrepreneur, rap artist Nipsey Hussle, who recently made his transition and had a beautiful, insightful, homegoing celebration. Let's keep up the truce forever for Nipsey and our community. Hello, Miss Massey. How are you today?
Hi, how are you? I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Well, when we last left, you were telling our listening audience about your situation with your son, his father, and what you are dealing with going through the process through the court system, mm-hmm. and how the court system may not always favor mothers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we wanted to continue that conversation today because it was so much information and so much that needed to be shared, mm-hmm. in case someone else is going through the same thing. It doesn't have to be a mother. Right. It can be a father as well, or it can be a grandparent, grandmother, mm-hmm. aunt, or uncle.
Right.
Because you don't have to give birth to that child to be a parent to that child. But we're going to touch on that next month in celebration of Mother's Day.
Right. So. Yes. Yeah. So I got a lot of positive feedback from my last interview that we did. But a lot of people did have a lot more questions. I think we were trying to squeeze all that information in, not only to get my story out, but to also get that information out, because like you said, it doesn't have to be just a mother. It could be a father, it could be grandparents, or like you said, someone who is just taking care of the child. Unfortunately, in my opinion, the Wayne County court system is not set up in favor of parents a lot. I feel like a lot of times there's a disservice, and I felt like that's what was done to me. One thing I spoke about last time was constantly having different judges and different referees. So one of the things, one of the problems in my case is, like I said, my actual judge was an individual initially, and then I was constantly referred back to the Friends of the Court. And if you're familiar with Friends of the Court, those people are not actually judges, they're referees, and so they may not really be knowledgeable of your case. I do know some referees take the time to read the background of the case, and some don't. I had a referee come out one time and was not knowledgeable of my case, but made a ruling, a very abrupt ruling. And I just feel like those rulings and inconsistencies are not good for the person who is at most concerned, which is the child. And in my case, I feel like my child was hugely affected by the decision, as well as myself. And I just think it needs to be something done. One thing, we need to get out and vote so these people are not constantly put back in these positions to do the disservice to children or those parents who are going through the custody battle.
Yes, that's correct. It's very important that we exercise our right to vote. Mm-hmm. So we can put individuals in the office that have our needs at heart, mm-hmm. our best interests at heart, and we can hold them accountable.
Yes.
If you don't go out and vote, that's just like voting for the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be mad certain things are not happening in your community, but you were the one that decided not to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you can't just stop at voting.
Mm-hmm.
Show up to meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in contact with that individual that you voted for. Keep up with the media to find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be active. If you are not active, you should not complain.
Exactly. And it's funny because sometimes when you're in the situation, the court puts fear in individuals that you can't go to the media, that you can't make this issue known. And it's really sad because we have a freedom of speech to voice our opinions. Right now, social media is one of the hugest resources that people actually go to. People go live, people share videos. So it's like, how can you tell me not to share my story? If anything else, going through this and losing full custody of my son was to try to share my story to help someone else. Because even now, I don't understand it. I just do not understand it. I do not have any rights to make decisions for my son, health decisions, where I was the one who initially took him to the doctor. I made doctor's appointments. I did all of that, not just as a mother, as a parent. That is what I did. I couldn't even tell you when my son had his last shots. I'm not privy to that information. And it's when you give certain individuals who don't have a positive intent or a well intent mm-hmm. for the child custody, they're using it kind of out of spite, should I say. And it's sad, but we have to look at the broader picture when we're looking at these cases. If I'm a judge, I got to analyze, I got to dissolve this case, I got to dissect it. You've got to get to the root of the problem, and you have to look at all of the evidence, all of the information. Otherwise, your decision, it's not okay, and you're just hurting the child.
Yes, it's time to think about the children, think about our future and the young people.
Mm-hmm.
Set aside the egos. I know you shared with me not too long ago that, you know, you had to leave work
mm-hmm.
because was sick
mm-hmm.
and you couldn't get any information. Would you like to expand on that?
A lot of times in my situation, I'm given the information after the fact. It's kind of hard to explain. Instead of me being notified as the parent, I'm not considered the custodial parent. So they would rather contact a step parent versus contacting the initial mother. So a lot of times I'm sent a message after he's already had care or after he has already been seen, and I'm just sent a message to say, hey, this is what happened. I'm not even informed about school programs until after the program has often taken place. And I take full responsibility, you know, being an educator, I want to be involved in my child's life. I know that these programs are going on at school, but one other unfortunate thing, as an educator, it's hard to decipher. It's like, as a teacher, you're put in the middle of whose side do I take, and I really don't want to be involved in this issue, but again, I want to be here for the child. So also, the school that my son attends had been given the paperwork to say, hey, she does not have custody, do not release certain information, or do not release him on certain days. And just doing my research, when a person is given full custody, it does not entitle them the right to withhold information as far as education or health. You are still entitled to get that information. So it's basically being withheld from me, and it does hurt, because I feel like I want to be there for my son, but it's this picture that's being painted that I'm not, and that's not the truth. So I think that's what's most hurtful.
But if I'm not mistaken, didn't you enroll your son in this school?
No,
You weren't the one.
No, I did not. I was not allowed to choose my son's school. When we went to court, again, if you remember in our previous interview, I spoke about a point system. One of the point systems, or the categories of the point system, is education. Okay. And again, I didn't know, because initially when I went to court, there was a judge filling in for the actual judge that I had. He had already made a ruling about which school my son would go to. But when we went back to court, the judge that was actually assigned to my case, she actually changed it to the school in which his father had selected. But I had no evidence to prove or against what he was saying, because I didn't know that I needed it, if that makes sense, because we were not supposed to be coming back to discuss the school that he was supposed to be attending, because it had already been ruled upon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what happens, say, for instance, mm-hmm. if your son gets sick and it's supposed to be a decision made by the parent who has full custody, mm-hmm. but the school can't get in contact with the father or the stepmother, mm-hmm. what happens next?
I would hope they would call me, but again, I'm not privy to that information. So I don't even know what names or information is listed on his emergency contact papers, because again, I wasn't privy to that information. So I would hope the teacher does have my information, but again, I don't know if she's been instructed not to contact me, because there was one incident where they were doing an activity in school, and the students were going to spray this dye with their hair or whatever. I think it was for reading month, I'm not sure. But instead of her contacting me as his mother who birthed him, the step parent was contacted. And I guess she felt compelled, like, you know, maybe this is a decision for mom to make. Why don't you contact mom? But I wasn't even contacted for that. They contacted her.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So the stepmother did say, you know, contact you, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so okay, that's good. So that means you have a good relationship with the stepmother.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. Oh, all right.
I wouldn't say that. I just, you know, some things, I wouldn't say that. I have no comment for that. It's just, on that particular occasion, I was allowed to make a decision for my son.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I see he recently turned 1 year older.
Mm-hmm. He's 6 years old.
Okay, that's good. And I saw on social media, you and him were having a great time together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, as we always do. It's just hard because, again, with the way this custody is set up, we follow the Wayne County parenting calendar.
Okay.
Which is okay, but again, I think it's more or less, to me, it's set up for an older child. To me, it's not geared toward younger children. It's too much. You're over here one day, you're over there one day. And someone, one of my friends said to me, well, that comes with the territory when you guys decide not to be together. And I understand that, but I just, I don't know. I grew up in a two-parent home, but it was just certain stuff that my dad said, you know what, your mom is going to handle that. And it was just certain stuff my dad handled. But again, I'm not allowed to do that. So the birthday party we had to give, it was actually before his actual birthday. Because I was not allowed to get him on his birthday.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel? I mean, you gave birth to him.
Yes. It's very hurtful because, again, I don't understand why the grounds in which I supposedly lost custody, and again, I provided the documentation for you to read, was based on supposedly emotional abuse, that I was making up this story about him being physically or mentally and emotionally abused. But CPS basically said that I was making up this story. I had filed false police reports, and I did none of the above. I never called CPS. These calls were being made by his teachers, where I hadn't even seen him yet, because with our previous order, my son was dropped off at school on Monday by dad, and I had no contact with him until pickup, so I hadn't even seen him. But these calls were made by his teachers, not me, based on what they saw. And, you know, as educators, we're mandated reporters. Right. But he was also verbally admitting to his teachers that this was being done, as well as you could see the bruises and things on him.
Okay, so the teachers were the one calling CPS.
Yes, and they even testified. Yes, you had the teacher come in, two teachers, as well as the preschool daycare director as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to say, you made these calls, you mm-hmm. made this information up.
Yes.
How could anyone make the information mm-hmm. up if mm-hmm. there were, if it was visible evidence
yes.
that this was happening. Mm-hmm. And then you had the testimony of the teachers as well as the child care director.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We had the teachers. And then, so what happens in these custody cases when you're dealing with physical abuse and even emotional abuse, as I spoke about before, they send the child to a nonprofit organization, which is called Kids Talk.
Okay.
And there they do a forensic interview, kind of like you see on Law and Order, where there's a therapist who will actually interview the child. And my son actually went to Kids Talk on two different occasions. On the first occasion, he admitted to the therapist the same thing that he did to the teachers, the same things that he had told me. And he had also disclosed this information to a very close family member as well. And she recommended therapy on the first time. The second time that he went back, I was accused of coaching him, saying that I was telling him to say that he had been hit. And I did not do that. There's no way that you could coach a child to the things that he was saying. For one, he was too young. But he was able to tell these things again to the teacher. So basically they were saying that I made this information up. I put my child through all of this stuff, sending him through CPS, all of these interviews. But what the court failed to realize, I was not putting him through these different things. This was the process and the expectations of CPS.
Okay. Now, is he still going to therapy?
No, unfortunately not. And that was another issue that I have with the court, because my son had been in therapy since he was probably, I want to say, 2.5 years old. Because again, when we initially went to Kids Talk, usually they recommend that you continue the therapy, because it's a source of intervention.
Right.
For a child that not just has experienced physical abuse, but when you go through a traumatic experience of going from this home to this home, that's a lot for a 2-3 year old, you know, going to 3 different households, going to school. So that's traumatic in itself. It's overwhelming. So the lady did actually recommend therapy. We were in therapy. And I was ordered to stop taking him because of the basis that the plaintiff, I'll say, claimed that they were not informed that they that he was attending therapy, but they were.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. I think some of these judges need to really think about their decisions, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to the children.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Instead of making quick decisions, mm-hmm. I'm just surprised at the fact that even with the testimony, mm-hmm. they still accuse you of either coaching your son or saying you're the one calling CPS, making the accusations up.
Yes, I think I spoke to CPS one time, and I just, if anything I did with CPS was follow their instructions. I followed what they told me to do. One of the processes, so if you're going through CPS, when they come to your home, you know, I allowed them in my home. You have to like give them a tour of your home. They have to make sure the environment is okay and it's safe for the children. They go as far as checking your cabinets to make sure you have food, everything. My home was clean. I had food. My oldest child was there. But every time that they came to my home, they would provide false information to the court of all this stuff that I said, and I did not say it. So I was just so overwhelmed with the CPS report. It was just a lot. I don't even think we have an entire more than an hour to talk about it. But it's a lot. And when going through these custody cases, which I know now, but I didn't know before, you have to know all of this information, or it probably won't go in your favor.
Wow. So even opening your home up, mm-hmm. they still documented whatever they wanted to.
Basically, in my eyes, because it was a lot of information that was misconstrued. For example, I have an older son from a previous relationship.
Okay.
And they wanted to interview him. But at the time, the school that he was going to was a school that I worked at. So our process for when CPS came into the school to speak to a child, they had to have the principal was involved. And at the time, that particular principal, the high school principal, we didn't have a very close relationship. So I really didn't want a lot of people in my business because okay. this was a personal situation. Right. So I had suggested to the CPS worker, I said, you can come to my home or you can come to my church, because the church we were attending at the time was a block away. And it was put in the CPS report is that I refused and that I didn't want them to speak to my older son. And I never stated that. I just said, I don't want you to come to his school because it's where I work. And it was just an uncomfortable situation. But you can come to my home and you can come to the church. But it was said that I said that they couldn't speak to him at all. And that wasn't true.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, they should have respected that, mm-hmm. because it kind of looked like a conflict of interest.
Right.
I'm going to piggyback on something you just said. You said that they could have came to your church, mm-hmm. but when you were telling me about that point system, mm-hmm. you told me they looked at religion too.
Exactly. Yes.
So, I'm just kind of confused, mm-hmm. how they can mark you down on religion, mm-hmm. because you just stated that you go to church, mm-hmm. and you just also previously stated that you had your son in a school, mm-hmm. a religious school.
Yes, it was a Christian school, yes. And the same Christian school was the church that I was attending. That's how I ended up attending the church, from him going to the school, yes.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. So do you have to return to court? How is the process going for you now?
I don't have to return to court at this time. I have been threatened that I was going to be taken back to court. And I questioned it, you know, on what grounds, you know, you have okay. custody, you have full custody. what more do you want to do? Because the goal, when the plaintiff initially filed the petition for custody, they didn't want me to see my son at all. There's a portion of the paperwork where you can put the time period in which you want to allow the other parent to see the child.
Right.
And they put that they wanted full custody 365 days. So that would have meant I wouldn't have never seen my son. They wanted me to get supervised visits. And I couldn't understand that for the life of me. I'm an educator. I'm a great mom.
Right.
I work every day, you know. What grounds do you have for me not to see my son? So I'm grateful for the time that I do have with him. I just do feel it's very hurtful to not have custody and be able to not make decisions. So no, I'm not supposed to go back to court. If I do go back to court, it will be up to me to have to file something or if the other party files something.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a little break. And we'll be back with Impact. I am Missy J, and my guest is Miss Massey.
Impact every fourth Tuesday, 12 noon. Learn about people and organizations making a difference in your metro community. Get information on newly formed organizations seeking a change. Get updates from current organizations and people who are working to reach the need and concerns as well as serve. Join me every fourth Tuesday at 12 noon on Impact.
Disclaimer. This show is a WHFR talk show presentation. The opinions expressed by WHFR staff and our guests are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College, not faculty, staff, administrators, anyone on our board of trustees, or students.
So we are back. You heard from Lisa Stansfield, affection. It's a way of life, and it's something we all need. I am here with my guest, Miss Massey.
Hey.
Any advice for individuals that are going through the same thing?
Like I said before, because my story, as I was telling you before, is so broad, it's so much, and I went through this for 5 years, and I'm still going through this. What I could say to mothers and fathers or whoever's going through a custody battle, make sure you document. Documentation is so important. Make sure you keep a journal. I actually keep a journal because written documentation is also recognized as evidence in court. When these events are happening, record them. Don't be afraid to record and document and have witnesses, because when it's time to go to court, it is like a battle. It really is a battle where you may be thinking you have good intentions for the child and the other parents should have good intentions as well. It turns into a battle, even if you're a person with a good heart. I was that person with a good heart, but it was so much. You hear people say, put salt on my name and just ruin and slandered my name. And that's what I'm working towards now. So I guess my advice to people is just stay strong, have your evidence, and prayer. You know, pray over your child, pray with your child. And you just have to be strong, because you have to realize not only are you going through this, but the child is going through this as well. And also make sure you have a good attorney, and make sure that attorney that you hire is willing to fight as much as you are, because otherwise it just won't work. You have to get a good relationship with that attorney and make sure you have a proper documentation.
Okay, thank you. Any other thoughts?
That's it. Like I said, I could go on and on and on.
Yes.
My next steps probably is I want to write a book. I want to do videos. I want to continue to help. So far, I've really just worked with young women. I probably will start working with some young men as well. But so far, being in the educational system, working in a high school, I've just been able to kind of work with young women who are going through this same situation, and just keeping the faith and just providing education and information for those who are going through the same process so they can get through it as well.
Okay. We will take another musical break, and the musical break we're taking this time has something to do with our community and topic. I was so surprised. I watched the Celebration of Life for Aramis Nipsey Hussle. I almost said Nipsey Russell. Another radio station, I will not say that radio station's name out of respect, but they made it seem like when Minister Farrakhan spoke that he kept on saying Nipsey Russell. He only said it one time, and it was not a mistake. He was trying to, which I did. I posted it on Facebook, mm-hmm. that both were activists, both are poets, both cared about their community. For the young people who didn't know who Nipsey Russell was, he was a favorite on a lot of the old school, you know, game shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yes. and he rhymed too. And he recorded albums as well. And for those of you young people who ever saw The Wiz with Diana Ross as Dorothy, Michael Jackson as the Scarecrow, Nipsey Russell was the Tin Man.
Mm-hmm.
So a supervisor I work with at the soundboard, he was trying to talk to his young people, his children, about where the name Nipsey Hussle came from, and tried to tell them about Nipsey Russell as well. So when we come back, listening to one of his favorite songs, and that performer was there, and we have been blessed with this performer, and he comes out of the Detroit area, I was very impressed to know that this was Nipsey's favorite song. And we're going to play this song and dedicate it to Nipsey Aramis. May he continue to rest in power and in paradise, his family, friends, and fans. Then we'll come back and we'll talk about his legacy. And Miss Massey is going to let us know how he has not only impacted the world, the community, the educational process as well. Thank you again. Listening to Impact on WHFR 89.3.FM on your dial. I am Missy J.
Baby, you do me right and you're lucky you gave me the start.
Massey was discussing different things about Nipsey Hussle.
Yes.
And she was telling me in one of his songs, he actually rapped about Stevie Wonder.
Yes. I don't remember the name of the song. I have to look at it on my phone. But yes, he rapped about Stevie Wonder singing at his funeral. And I think that's how they came about having Stevie Wonder coming to the funeral to actually sing.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That reminds me what I just told you of Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
When he made that song, I Ain't Mad At You.
Mm-hmm.
And the video that goes with that song of him losing his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's Red Fox that greets him in heaven. All the greats are up there.
Yeah.
And to me, that means... you're a prophet.
Yeah.
Maybe people might get mad because I'm saying this,
mm-hmm.
but if you can see things in the future,
mm-hmm.
you're a prophet to me. The older people used to say, you've been here before,
uh-huh.
or you have an old soul.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I discussed this with my students at Mumford High School. Hey, Mumford. In my business management class,
mm-hmm.
we talked about Tupac. We talked about Biggie. You know, people went so far as to talk about Dr. King, the Kennedys. But you took it a step further. Please explain to our audience what you did with your students.
Well, I was a huge fan of Nipsey Hussle and Lauren London, so I followed him. I liked his music, but it wasn't just so much about his music. I was really impressed and inspired by what he was doing in the community. So when it happened, the class that I teach is communications and media, so I felt compelled. I'm like, I have to have this as my jump start. And so what we did was, that was the jump start, but what we did was actually go back and create a timeline and just to dissect first who he was. We had to activate the prior knowledge because even though this is a young generation, he was a part of that young hip-hop generation, I found that it was a lot of students who did not know who he was. As soon as I put it up, because I don't know who he is, and I was like, wow, you know, we talk about so much negative information. You don't know who's doing the good things in the community. So the first thing I did was have the students do the research first. Who was he? You know, where was he born? And that led students to find out about his background. You know, that he had an African background. His father was from East Africa. About the people that he came from. I think it's Eritrean. And that he had took a trip to Africa, and he said that it had a huge impact on him, and it inspired him. Just talked about the things that he did in the community, and I was sharing with them about his entrepreneurship, how he opened these stores. I remember listening to one of his stories, and he was saying that he made it his business. There was a person who owned a business in his neighborhood, and he never allowed them to come in the store. He didn't want to service them. And he said, you know what? This is where I built my marathon store. Now he's my tenant. You know, now he has to pay me. So just, I wanted to make sure that I featured Nipsey. It was our lesson for, we were supposed to be one day. It turned into an entire week.
Wow.
The entire week, because just actually doing the research, even myself, it was so much information we found. I also implemented, because he was a part of the Rolling 60s Crips, I was able to implement about gang history, his transition in the gang, you know, and what he did for those gang members that he knew, giving them jobs, giving them employment, letting them see a different side except for just the violence. He also talked about how he got out of the gang. So what we did was we broke it up into four different parts. The first part that we did, of course, was his background. And then in that part, we included what we called love and romance. And in the love and romance section, we didn't just talk about his love for Lauren London. We included his family, his mother and his father, his sister, his brother, and his love for his children. He was a great father. And I think that that needed to be shown to the children, too. We needed to show more positive pictures of black males and black fathers. So that was the first section. The second section was community outreach and community programs. So I had the students look up and research all of the businesses and things that he owned. And we looked up, he started a STEM program. If you're familiar with that, here in Detroit, we have a DAPSET, but he had the STEM program, science, technology, engineering, and math. But then when we did our further research, we found that he got with this guy called Vector, and they bought a building in Crenshaw, which enabled black entrepreneurs and business owners to come and rent out spaces where they normally wouldn't be able to buy or purchase. And then in the basement of the building, I think that he stated that was where the STEM program was held. So that was the second part. The third part was the gang transition and the history of the gangs. And then the last part, I let the students vocally voice their opinions about his death. We looked at the evidence and the timeline of how he was killed and why he may have been killed. So it was a lot. We dug deep because I was trying to get the message to them that to be a good journalist, you have to do your research. And you have to know the person that you're talking about. So it was really deep and it was really interesting. They really enjoyed it.
Well. Thank you for all you do, for all you do for your community, for all you do for the students at Mumford. I know they are full of knowledge. When I walk into your classroom, it's nothing but silence.
Oh, thank you.
And they're on those computers, and they are paying attention. I can hear their brains just working. Mm-hmm. So that is a beautiful thing. Any closing thoughts?
My closing thoughts will be to our community is that, as he said, the marathon continues.
Yes.
We need more Nipseys. I think people thought by killing him that it would stop. I think his death inspired more people to get out and do what he's did. You know, we want to finish his job and add to his job because he was doing some great things. And I think if a lot of people, whether you're famous or, you know, anybody, if we start to do those things in our community, it would truly change. So I say, you know, the marathon continues. It don't stop. Start spreading the word, getting out in your community and helping our children, and inspire and educate as much as you can to make a difference. And like I said, we need more Nipseys. If we had more Nipseys, I think a lot of crime, a lot of our children wouldn't be so lost. We wouldn't see these suicides. We wouldn't right. see so much of this stuff going on. And I think if we do that, we can make it work.
Okay. Thank you for coming by. You'll be back next month.
Yes,
hopefully
ma'am.
I can get Miss Shay in
yes,
here
we gotta get
so
Ms.
we
Shay.
Can do a special Mother's Day impact.
Yes, that would be
ladies,
nice.
Please come out about a conversation about domestic violence, April 18th, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. here at the Welcome Center at Henry Ford College, 5101 Evergreen Road in Dearborn, Michigan. For more information about that event and other things happening at the college, please go online at www.hfcc.edu. This is Impact. I am Missy J. signing off. Hashtag 15 forever. If you see something, say something. Make a difference in a person's life. Think happy and smile. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Disclaimer: this show is a WHFR talk show presentation. The opinions expressed by WHFR staff and our guests are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College, not faculty, staff, administrators, anyone on our board of trustees, or students.
Impact every fourth Tuesday, 12 noon. Learn about people and organizations making a difference in your metro community. Get information on newly formed organizations seeking a change. Get updates from current organizations and people who are working to reach the need and concerns as well as serve. Join me every fourth Tuesday at 12 noon on Impact.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Disclaimer: this show is a WHFR talk show presentation. The opinions expressed by WHFR staff and our guests are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College, not faculty, staff, administrators, anyone on our board of trustees, or students.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Guys and dolls, you are at the malt shop with Daddy G here in WHFR, and we are going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop where the jukebox is playing. The kids are dancing, and here we are, back in the 50s.
Yeah.